We left up last time with Akasha. We answered some questions, and new questions come to replace the old questions. We tried, Luffy, our limited understanding, to understand what's the significance of the cows on Sukkot. It's not the same Indian as the lights on Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, you're being megala the kayach of the nace on the first day, the gili kayach of nace. There's a nace lamala midarchateva on the first day, and it has a kayach to be lamala midarchateva from the very first day. And every single day, it's one day less of how much the nace is going to be nizgal in this world. You know, the first day there's a kayach for 8 days to be nizgal, and the second day is a kayach for 7 days to be nizgal. So Bishami holds that you go from the Alyanim down to the Tachtanim. You go according to the way it's nizgala in the world that's beyond this world. And Bishil argues. And Bishil says, not like that. Adarabba, you go according to the way we see it. The first day you saw that there was one day of light. The second day you realize, hey, there's more, there's two. Third day is three. Fourth day is four. It's always a machlokes in perspective. And how to view it. So we're trying, according to our limited understanding, to understand the parallel to Sukkot. We spoke about the Shirish Peresh. Par. And par is the Shirish of the word Pirud. Pirud means to separate. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world that the purpose of the world was to allow separation. Not that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to separate, but he wants a world that allows separation, the separation to take place. Initially, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants separation to exist only in the form of a potential. And it shouldn't ever need to be actualized. There's a potential to separate from a Kadosh Baruch. Well, the Marishan was created. If we eat from the Eitz HaChaim, so you'd be clinging to a Kadosh Baruch. If we eat from the Eitz HaDas Teva Ra, he's choosing to separate from a Kadosh Baruch. Other Marishan justified eating from the Eitz HaDas Teva Ra. We have to say that he knew what it would do to him. Because Adam Rishon knew everything. So if he knew everything, he knew what the Eitz HaDas Teva Ra would do to him. He wasn't fooled. That would cause a separation. Adam Rishon, on the other hand, would never do anything Hashem doesn't want him to do. So he reasoned. I mean, this is all according to our limitations, are severe limitations. Other reasons of a Kadosh Baruch Hu created a way to separate from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem doesn't create anything about Tala, so then other Marisha is supposed to separate from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and then come back. He was wrong. The purpose of the Eitz HaDas Teva Ra was for other Marisha to understand separation from God. For Adam Rishon to consider separating from God. From Adam Rishon seeing the relative merits of separating from God. Separating from God has relative merits. You're coming back to God on your own. You know. Yeah, you created in Gan Eden. Hashem creates you directly. So of course you're going to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really Avodas Hashem on your own. But separating from God and coming back, there's a value in that. And exploring the value, and researching it, and understanding it.
How can he explore without doing it? How could he possibly understand what it means to separate?
It's possible for him. Well, doing it is the final stage in understanding something. Even without doing it, there's a limited understanding. It's a limited understanding. That means you could go through all the aspects of understanding the merits, the relative merits of separation, separating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, existing without him. And then at the end, making a decision. No. And he misunderstood HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intent. And he actually, he thought, why was like you're thinking? Adam HaRishon was mechavan to you, Naftali. That if you have to understand something to the very end, you have to do it. You have to experience it. You can't just talk about chocolate cake. You can't just research the different recipes of chocolate cake. You can't just read the testimonials about chocolate cake. You can't just go to the chocolate cake museum and see all the chocolate cake exhibits. You can't just attend the bake sales. And you got to actually eat the chocolate cake. That's true in regards to chocolate cake. The Eitz Hadas Teva Ra, Hashem told Adam, don't eat it. This is where the misunderstanding lies. The Adam thought that Hashem told him not to eat it, and the test is, it's a huge monumental test. That Hashem really, he said no. Hashem said no. But Hashem only said no because he really wants to set Adam HaRishon up for doing it. So he could go away and come back. Be it as it may, Adam HaRishon did eat from the Eitz HaDaas. The world is separated from God, not just in theory, but in actual practice. And it goes away from God. We said in four different directions. And four different directions also means 12 different directions because every direction has two sub-directions. So if you have four different directions, so north has north, northeast, and northwest. And the same thing for east and west and south. So separating from God in four different directions is the same thing as saying separating from God in 12 directions. So the number 12 represents the maximum separation from God. There's 12 ways to go away from God. And the 12 ways, they have, you know, they're not totally isolated from one another. They have something in common with each other. The northeast way of going away from God is going to have some elements of the northwest way of going away from God. Let's see, you have four ways, and then you have subcategories. And everything in this world can be divided up into 12, and the year is divided up into 12, the Shvatim are divided into 12, the constellations are divided into 12, there's a whole cycle of 12 heavenly bodies, different mazalas that they're mishamish for the different months of the year. Number 13 represents coming back. And that the 12 ways are not really 12 ways. It's all one. The number Achad is Aleph Kaz Dal. That's what we're going to do 13. So we said that the third starts with 13 cows, going down to 7 cows, and then Shmini Yetzirah, which is the 8th day, there's one cow. That's where we left off. So I wanted to be Meishiv just two Nakudas. Okay, that's more or less what we said. Anyway, Meishiv two Nakudas. So that means on Sukkot you have two ones. The first day and Shmini Atzeres. The first, Shmini Atzeres is one cow. And the cow represents the Kayakha period. It looks to us that period is to separate from God, but really, our job in this world is to see that all the period isn't really period. And the first day where they brought 13 cows also represents one, because 13 is Begematria Echad, and it's also taking all the 12 different ways to go away from the central point and recognizing that they all come from a central point, they're all really one. They're not just 13 different pickup sticks randomly strewn around the living room floor. They all come from one point of origin. So it means on Sukkot we have two ones. And the reason for that is because there's two ways to perceive one. One way is, it's called a relative one. It's not really one, it's the closest thing we can get to one. There's not a single thing in our physical world that's not composed of smaller elements. Human beings are composed of cells. Cells are composed of molecules. Molecules are composed of atoms. Atoms are composed of subatomic particles, protons, neutrons, electrons. And those are composed of quarks. You know, then there's the top quark. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but these are the words for it. They just find more and more particles. They give them funny names. I mean, the long, as time passes, you know, then science becomes more advanced. They come up with funnier and funnier names. Quite a quark. Little neutrino. It's a neutrino. Neutrino's a quark. Little neutrino guy is there. Hey, I'm a quark. I'm a neutrino quark. I'm the top quark. The Higgs boson. That's. I think we've spoken about this. We have spoken about this. But the point is that everything is made up of parts, which means that nothing is truly one. So that any oneness we can have in our world is called relative oneness. It's when parts come together as one.
What about the last thing?
We haven't come to it yet. Keep it on, you keep going.
Is there?
There is a point when Ruchnius connects with Gashmius. That's that point. In Ruchnius, there's no parts. So the only way for us to attain oneness is when all the parts come together and function together as one. I'll call it relative oneness. It's not truly oneness, it's only oneness because you're coming together. Oneness. And then you have, on the other side of the... It's not the other side of the spectrum, it's a... In the true definition of existence, we have God. And God, thank you very much. God is the only being that's truly one. Now, Malachim, they're not made up of physical particles, but they do depend on each other. They're also not truly one, but they don't have physical particles. The Malachim are not independent. God is dependent. He always was, he is, he will be. There's no reality without God. He's the definition of reality. And God is not made up of parts. To be made up of parts means to be missing something. To be made up of parts, that means that you have parts that they complement each other. That means you have to be put together. That means if you're not put together, then you don't work properly. That's called a chesaron. God has no chesaronis. God has no chesaronis. He has no parts. And he's truly one. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was HaKadosh Baruch Hu existed in the reality that he's truly one and he's the only one. His Metzius is that he's one and he's the only one. And then God created a world that allows for separation and allows for multiples. But the world is created in order that those multiples should come together as one. That you should be able to see through the superficial reality that we're faced with and look at and see all the things that are opposites and still find a common thread. There's the north wind, there's the south wind, there's mountains, there's valleys, there's red and there's green, there's cold, there's hot. There's smart and anti-smart. And on the surface, it looks like there's a god of smartness and there's a god of anti-smartness. This is a classic ear. that the smart people were created by the smart God, and the anti-smart people were created by the anti-smart God, and now you can understand how they are so anti-smart, because otherwise it boggles the imagination. How could someone be so anti-smart? It must be that there's an anti-smart God. And this is, I mean, I don't mean this too seriously, but this is Eev. The Eev wasn't able to reconcile all the steers in the world, and he attributed it to different sources. The Mepharshim said that if Eev would have been in his right mind, if he wouldn't have been under such pain, he would never have come to that conclusion. When a person's in pain, undescribable pain, unimaginable pain, so then you can't really blame him for the erroneous, mistaken conclusions that they arrive at. But they were mistaken conclusions. He had some good ones. He had some doozies. Eev had some doozies, the mistaken conclusions. But the steers in the world. And the site, you know, the avoida of being in this world is to see through the steers and to see they're not steers at all. It's very hard. And there was some that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand. He couldn't understand Tzadok V'Ra'aleh, Rasha V'Tavleh. Eev couldn't understand Tzadok V'Ra'aleh. We talked about this, but we said Tzadok V'Ra'aleh is easier to understand than Rasha V'Tavleh. Tzadok V'Ra'aleh, the Klai Yisrael was always able to be Oymed in that Nisayon. Every Nisayon the Klai Yisrael ever went through was Tzadok V'Ra'aleh. And we're still around. Rasha V'Tavleh, that's rough. There's a lot of karbanos to Rasha V'Tavleh. So it's my understanding that the first day of Sukkot, it's one of seven. Sukkot is 7 days. So I mean, Sukkot itself is a holiday that we experience the holiday Elam Hazadika. Like within the perspective of this world. It's a holiness. It's a special period. We're uplifted. But Sukkot is a 7-day holiday. If it's a 7-day holiday, that means the way we see it, the lesson we learn, or what we experience, is through the eyes of somebody that's in this world. And the oneness in this world, we see as all multiples having a common thread, multiples coming together of contradictions, complementing each other. Complements, you know, they actually complement each other. You know, opposites can actually complement each other. You have 12 different mahalchim in doing something, and it's a harmony. It's a symphony. And that's what we learn. That's what we do during Sukkot. So we go around in circles. I mean, that's the whole thing about Sukkot. We go around in circles. The shade of a circle is that everyone's equidistant from the center, and everyone's in a different position. And you're all going around the same center, even though you're in different positions. And that's the beauty of all the different things. But we're all facing the same, we all have the same goal. All revolving around the center. And that's a very Elam Hazadika thing. It's uplifting. It's hard, but it's doable. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov Bifnei Atzmai. It's the 8th day. The 8th day always represents viewing something through the eyes beyond this world, which is technically impossible to view this world through the eyeglasses of the number 8. There's only one cow on that day, because the lesson of Shmini Atzeres is not that everything is multiples and all the multiples have this common thread. You can use a rock for Avodas Hashem, and you can use fire for Avodas Hashem, you can use laughter for Avodas Hashem, and you could use technology for Avodas Hashem, you can use diamonds for Avodas Hashem, you can use Rishayim for Avodas Hashem. That's another Hazadika look. Shmini Atzeres is above that. That means that there are no multiples. It's all one. And that perspective is really impossible for us. We can't imagine a reality that there is no number two, no number three. There's only one. Just close your eyes. You can't. You just can't. It's just, don't go there. We can't. True oneness is beyond us. We can't. We have nothing to compare it to. We can't envision it. It's just, it's impossible. That everything is not just, that everything being a component of one big machine, we could relate to that. But to have a machine that there's no components, it's just one. And that's all there, it's just, but we know, but it's a very important part of our emunah, and even though we can't envision it, so we have a dialogue, but that's one kind, and that's how I understood it. That was one nakuda. And then it wants to be myself. Okay, so you have the first day of Sukkot, which is one, and you have Shmirat Tzeres, which is also one, but they're two totally different ones. The next side, which, I mean, Adkan I think is pretty clear. I don't think I went off of the Kava Emes. It's something which we all, number 13, the number one cow, 13 cows, especially after you explain what cows are. I think it's pretty, works out pretty well. The next kasha, which I asked, I mean, it'd be interesting if you thought about it this week, is in a Chanukah, we start with the number one halakha l'maisa, and we go up to eight. Paschal like Beis Hill. Now, Beis Shammai says on Chanukah, you start from eight, you go down to one, and Beis Shammai's Raya is from Sukkot. So Beis Hill obviously holds that you don't bring a raya from Sukkot to Hanukkah. Because Beis Hill is meitah that on Sukkot you start with 13 cows, you go down to 7. And Beis Hill holds it's no raya. So why in Sukkot do we do it? And that was the kasha, right? Why in Sukkot do we do it like Beis Shammai and Hanukkah you do it like Beis Hill? This bothered me. The remnants to the Teretz is in the morale. I think we'll discuss it and then we'll read it inside. Okay. There's a big nafka mina between Sukkot and Chanukah. There's a big nafka mina between Sukkot and everything. Give me a raya. If a guy goes to sleep in the sukkah and he sleeps, how many hours does he sleep in? Probably went to sleep at 3 in the morning because the sukkah's beis shuva. Gets up at 6:30. 3.5 hours. Okay? See? 3.5 hours. Davins. It's called Maid. So he's sleeping. He slept for 3.5 hours in the sukkah. Now, how long did it take him to go into the sukkah and fall asleep? Do you still have sukkahs on the roof in the mirror? The roof of the main building?
I don't
think so. No idea. When I was a bachur in Eretz Yisrael, so I spent Sukkot in Yerushalayim. I was in Panovich in Bnei Brak, but Sukkot I came to Yerushalayim. And what do you do during Sukkot? You go to the Simchas Beis Shuvah. The Simchas Beis Shuvah were crazy then. They're nowhere near now what they were then. I'm just saying they were crazy. And just night after night, you're just seeing everybody. You see everybody in Eretz Yisrael that you know. And all the people that come from America, you just bump into everyone. You go from one to the next, and just like, you're dancing with all your friends, the people you haven't seen for years, the guy that went to Israel 20 years ago, and you didn't even know he was still here, and then your next-door neighbor, it's wow. But 3-4 in the morning, you have to find a place to sleep. And buses, there's no buses, cabs, try and get a cab with 500 people trying to get a cab. You try and get a cab, it's full. Every cab you try, it's impossible. So So you find a place, put him here. So I remember there was I slept there twice. See, I was in the mirror. I was in the mirror. I slept in the mirror. So one, the sukkahs were built on the roof of the main building. You climb, there's like a metal ladder, you climb up there, and then it's like a tent city, a sukkah city. The guys put up their beds, their nightstands, their pictures of Dalim. They had this farm there. It was beautiful, it was a matzim. They built their mattresses up. Kids, I got a mattress from a dorm room, I'm schlepping it up the metal ladder, holding the mattress and the metal ladder at the same time. Get up there, put it there, and there I go to sleep. So it took me, a few minutes to find the mattress, go to someone's room and get a mattress. I was going to say steal the mattress, but no, it's a steal. Okay, I stole the mattress. I put it back. So the mattress.
Everyone wants to have a little bit left over.
Oh, well. Comfort. Go up, lie down, find the sukkah. The guy gave me a room on his floor. Go to sleep. 10-15 minutes. Then I sleep for 3.5 hours. In Shemayim, how much scar am I getting? Am I getting scar for 3.5 hours, or am I getting scar for 10 minutes? The 10 minutes took me to go into the sukkah.
You get schar as time, or you get
schar? I don't know. Do I get schar for? What?
Why don't you just get schar for going into the sukkah?
That's considered living in the sukkah.
When I'm sleeping, so are you tying how many hours? That's it. 3.5 hours or 10 minutes?
All the time you're in the sukkah.
Okay.
So you sit
there. What do you say?
Mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah?
How much do I get for 3.5 hours or for 10 minutes?
Is it what's it called, mitzvah? Like preparing like an esrog or luluf?
Anything that goes by time.
Okay.
You got a mitzvah for sleeping in the sukkah that night, whether you slept 3 hours, 8 hours, or 10 hours. As long as you didn't miss shacharis, it's a mitzvah.
Well, what if somebody in the middle of the night walks out and goes to his bed? So he gets the same mitzvah as someone that stayed the whole night?
No.
The chayri, it's more. The more time you spend, then the more mitzvah you get.
So then I guess if you're preparing to go to sleep in the sukkah, it's probably the same thing. Part of the
preparation's part also, but also the sleeping.
But even but, more.
Okay, now when you're sleeping, you get a schar for doing a mitzvah?
Teishu b'sukkah, yeah.
Are you doing anything when you're sleeping?
No, yet you're teishu b'sukkah. You're
chiddush.
You're fulfilling a mitzvah of being in a sukkah.
Okay. Would you get a mitzvah for nishmartem?
Yeah. Mitzvahs are things that we do. Why should you get a mitzvah for something that you're not doing? Teretz is.
You are doing.
Teretz is. Why are you in the sukkah in the first place? Because you put yourself in the sukkah. So what you're not doing anything now, but your state is a product of what you did. Correct? Now what if a guy went to sleep in his bed? Because I don't sleep in sukkahs. I don't sleep in sukkahs. I don't relate to sleeping in sukkahs. I'm not going to sleep in a sukkah. He went to sleep in his room. Someone picks him up when he's sleeping and carries him into the sukkah. Just get him a mitzvah.
Does the guy that got carried out of the sukkah?
Does the guy that carried him get a mitzvah? Does the guy that's in the sukkah get the mitzvah? Does the sukkah get the mitzvah? Who gets the mitzvah?
Some of the sukkah gets the mitzvah.
Do you see the point? Sukkot is a mitzvah like no other mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to put yourself somewhere.
So the mitzvah is going in.
And being there because you brought yourself in there, yeah.
How much?
It's not the mitzvah. It's not just going in because you're just walking in. Okay, I did it. I'm here now. Bye. Now I'm gonna go play tennis. The mitzvah is being there, going in there, putting yourself into a state of being. Hala? Kadima? Putting yourself in a state of being. There's no other mitzvah like that. Or maybe mikveh. What other mitzvahs are like that?
You don't force a bit of mikveh, though.
It's not a very safe pastime.
Depends what your habits are.
If someone has that habit, they should break it.
I heard certain mikvahs are really, really thick. You won't really drop.
Going.
Just kind of sit on top.
That's awful.
Sukkos is a different type of mitzvah, different type of yamtiv. It's a yamtiv to put yourself into a state of existence, a place, a makka. I mean,
it
right. Tzitzis, sukkah, mikvah, these are all, they all have something in common. Well, that was good. That was excellent. To surround yourself with something. Yamim Tovim, starting with the first one is Pesach, then Shavuos, Shavuot and Kippur in the middle there somewhere, right? They're important, they're very important, and Sukkos. The Yamim Tovim are a journey. On Pesach we were born. On Pesach we started our journey. The first steps was Pesach time. Shavuos, Hashem gave us the Torah. That's our provisions for the journey. You know, this is what we need in order to get there. And this is the actual journey is Shavuos. Shavuos is the actual journey. You cobble the Torah. You learn the Torah. You keep the Torah. Chas v'shalom. You make choices to go away from the Torah, then you come back. That's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they went off. Chata Egel, Chata Meraglim, a bunch of Chataim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That when we're along the journey, there's even if someone goes off, the whole nation goes off, they can come back. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the first Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was after the Chet HaEgel. Sukkos is when you get there. Sukkos is a parallel to going into Eretz Yisrael. Rachman, Yaakov Manu, Sukkos, David, and Anafalos. That we daven and bench and Kodesh Boka should give us the sukkah's David and Nephilis. The sukkah of David is constantly falling. What are you talking about? So, you ever think, how many times do we bench during sukkahs? What are we talking about? If you're from Chutz Laaretz, you do it for 8 days. Right? From Chutz Laaretz, you do it on the 8th day also. You say, Rachman, Yaakov, and sukkah's David and Nephilis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should lift up the David's sukkah, which is always falling.
Jeez, go for his nails.
The Chaira, that Harachman points to a concept more than an actual building. Is that right? Okay? Because the actual building fell a long time ago. David HaMelech's sukkah. That means the concept of place, the concept of being surrounded, the concept of arriving in a destination where you're there and you're surrounded by everything you're supposed to be, you know, you've come back to You come back to the place, that within that place, there's no competition, there's no divisiveness. It's one. Everyone is under one rishus. We're all in one sukkah. That it's mitzvah for everyone together. You know, that's one of the things that a makom does, is a makom joins people together, because if you're all in the same room, so you have something in common with each other. If you have 100 people outside, you have 100 individuals. If you have 100 people in a sukkah, you have a sukkah with a group of 100 people in one sukkah. And as long as they're in that sukkah, they're one. They're not individuals. Sukkahs don't even follow this, is this concept that the Beis HaMikdash was meant to be a place that three times a year at least we come in contact with the oneness of the world. The Beis HaMikdash is in the Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. You look on a map, you will see it. Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world. It's a very small point, and you can't even see it during these maps. But the center of the world is huge masses of land extending out from that central point of Eretz Yisrael. It's the center of everything. Africa, Asia, it's just Europe is near, it's everything, and it's the oceans and the waters, and the center of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. The center of Yerushalayim is the Makom HaMikdash, and the center of the Makom HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? It's the center that everything comes in. When we go there, so then we come into contact with what it is to be one, and of course that fits in with the nace of that everybody went there and they didn't take up place, they didn't take up space over there, because multiples take up space. You've got 300,000 people, there's a certain amount of space that, you know, they fit in. That's how the police, when they have these rallies or funerals, they just, how do they tell how many people were there? You know? It's usually in the hundreds of thousands. So some people count the feet and divide by two. That's one way of doing it. But the way the police do is they measure the streets and people fill up, and it's by the space that the average person takes up. They know, you know, how many meters it is from the beginning of the street to the other, and how wide it is. And they from the helicopter, they see which ones are packed, you know. And then it's math after that. Because individuals take up space. But when you're one, there's only one. One doesn't take up space. Sukkos Davar Ani follows is that this is missing from us. But it's not going to always be that way. Sukkos is the Yom Tov that represents our destination. And that's why the first day starts with 13. And the Shmini Atzeres is one, because that's going to be Lasad Lavai after Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, the world will still be a world of sevens. There will be seven colors, there will be seven musical notes, there will be seven sevens. But after Mashiach, then the physical world is going to change. And it's going to be a world that's unrecognizable from a physical point of view. And then we'll understand what it is to be truly one, whatever that is. Chanukah represents the Derech Avoda. The Derech Avoda of starting out in the physical world and eventually progressing and progressing and progressing until we become more involved in spiritual pursuits, and then it has effect on us, and we advance more and more and more, and even though we're physical, but we could take on spiritual properties, kiyadua. As long as we're in this world, we're going to be physical, but there's physical and there's physical beings that have spiritual properties. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, 40 years later, so Moshe Rabbeinu sent Meshaber sent two spies. He sent Kalev and Pinchas. No? Pinchas went in. Eliyahu Navi, Pinchas. He was one of the you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies, they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And they were staying by a woman named Rachav, who eventually became the wife of Yeshua. She converted, became the wife of Yeshua. And they were discovered by the ancient Canaan. So Rachav says, quick. She tells both of them, hide on the roof. Call and hit on the roof. They're not going to find you on the roof. I don't know why I think that everybody hides on the roof. You're never going to find them. But they're okay. Hide on the roof. Yeah. Now everyone knows to look on the roof. Hide on the roof. And Pinchas says, I don't have to go on the roof. She says, why not? Aren't you going to go up on the roof? He says, no, I'm Eliyahu Malach HaBris. When I want to be seen, I'm seen. When I don't want to be seen, I'm not seen. I don't have to hide on the roof. If I don't want to be seen, no one's going to see me. And Kachav, they came, they looked. They didn't see Pinchas because he didn't want to be seen. They didn't see Kalev because he was on the roof. And they went away, and then they escaped. It's a physical being with spiritual properties. So it takes a whole lifetime. Some people could do it, not very many. But the purpose in this world is to take the physical body and continue and go towards spiritual pursuits that the physical body doesn't participate in spiritual pursuits so readily. And then eventually the body becomes refined until it can actually have spiritual properties. It's a physical body, but it doesn't act like a physical body, you know. You know, Pinchas is a good example. Bilam and the kings of Midian, they were fighting Klal Yisrael. They said Hashem of Kishev, and then they flew in the air. And then Pinchas said Hashem of HaKadosh Baruch, he also flew in the air. It's not natural to fly in the air. And his physical body flew in the air. Because that's the way he was. But that's the Derech HaVaida, to start from the 7 and get to the 8. Okay, that whole description can be summed up in 5 words. Start from the 7, get to the 8. I know it's 6 words. It's the Malmi Derech HaTeva. 5 words can be 6 words. There's no limits. And that's what the Maral says. The Maral says, you start with one light on Hanukkah and you go up to 8. The Marlon Bekaidish Remaridin. Because in matters of Kedusha, you want to be a Kaddish? What is a Kaddish? A Kaddish is someone that his level is beyond. Kaddish means separate. Muvdol and Mufresh. Kaddish means beyond. It's a total separation. The word Kedusha means separated. It doesn't mean sacred. It does not mean holy. It means to be beyond, separate, kaddish. Ki akedushi imalo yaina. To get to that level where you're above and beyond, that means you're not recognizable in any way to what you once were. You know, people that make progress in physical areas, so then they still retain something of what they once were. Start with Lamashallah Abdul. They start working out. So they in the physical sense, they advanced. But it's the same person without the muscles that developed them. The muscles got stronger, they got tighter, you know. It means that what the person had is the basic building block of what he became. It just increased. You grow taller, or you get heavier, anything in the physical world. Kedusha means it's a totally different level. You become something else. Not an improved version of your former self. Kedusha means muvdol u'mufresh, something totally separate. Ma'alo yena. He says you can't get there in one shot. Ein magia madrega zoysa yena mechila. You can't do it. You can't come from the physical, which everything has its limits. There's nothing in the physical world that's unlimited. Even the unlimited phone plans, they're not really unlimited. We ask them. Is it really unlimited? The lady said it's unlimited. They said, is it really unlimited? She said, practically. She said, there's 4,000 minutes. You're never going to use them all. But if you do, so then you are going to get a bill. Or they'll cut it off. There's nothing in this world that's unlimited. Even the unlimited Golan phone plans.
No, if it doesn't happen at once, then how could it be? That means if it doesn't happen at once, it needs to be an add-on of something.
It's Siyata Dishmaya, right. That means you do everything you could possibly do within your limitations. And when you finish, that there's nothing else you could do, so the Kaddish Baruch Hu smiles on you and picks you up to a level that you weren't capable of reaching on your own. So it's a combination of sweat and Siyata Dishmaya. But you have to do everything.
So you need an add-on. And
everything. That means you do everything in all the sevens, right? You don't leave anything, right? And then when you get to that point, that there's nothing left you can do to perfect the physical, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu does the rest. And only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can do the rest. When Magia Madrega Zizan Yen Mitchil, you can't do it right away. Raki Eila Eila Madrega Ach Madrega, it has to be one Madrega after another. Ada Akram, it said, Ada Misala Bachrena Kedusha Yaser. Because Kedusha is a totally different level. You can't go from this world to Kedusha directly. You want to get Nisim, you want to have a miraculous existence. Tchilu Ma'at, a little bit. Yaser Misala, Yaser Maizmi Amacharishim. So Mesilo is talking about the Derech Avaida. You want to be Kedusha, you want to have Nisim, you want to live like a Nis. I'm going to be an ace. The way to do that is to be normal. You start out normal. The Derech Avaida is not to, in the beginning of your Avaida, when you're first starting out, the Derech Avaida is not to take on things that are not from this world. That comes later. Kedusha is at the end. You start out doing things the way you're supposed to do it by using this world. Harnessing this world. Being a productive member in this world. And then Mitzrayim should have a long and healthy life. At the end of the journey, that's when Kedusha comes. A lot of the Haggis that we know from our Nashim Gedayim, they didn't do them when they were starting out. We hear a Maisa about Aram Gadol. You hear about Anashim Gedalim, we hear stories about great men, and we say that we can do those things when we're 20 years old. They didn't do it when they were 20 years old. And if they would have done it when they were 20 years old, then they never would have been Anashim Gedalim. Would you start with the physical? So, Chayyar, that's the pshat. Why Sukkot is like Behishamai, because Hanukkah is the Derech Avoida. 1, 2, 3, until then eventually you do all seven, then the eighth day of Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you. The eighth day is Hashem does. You do all seven, so then the eighth day you'll get Kedusha at the end of the eighth day. The Sukkot is a Yom Tov, it's very unique. Sukkot is the Yom Tov of being there already. The numbers in Sukkot could go down. They don't have to go up. Sukkot is not the Yom Tov of gradually one after another after another after another. Sukkot represents living for 8 days b'zeir anpin in a microcosm of having gotten there already. So Chanukah is the journey from 7 to 8. And Sukkot is for 8 days we go through the motions. Okay, Zerampin, it's like a very minuscule microcosm. You know what microcosm means? A very, very small scale. It's like Mr. Cotton. Like you have the number 1,000,000, take off all the zeros, and you have one. It's like they have something in common, because the million and the one, they all start with a one. So Sukkot is like that, that we experience being there for 8 days, according to each one according to his level. Sukkot, we live in Gan Eden for 8 days. The mitzvah sukkah is not to do things. The mitzvah sukkah is to be somewhere. The mitzvah sukkah is not to do things. The mitzvah sukkah is to be somewhere. So you don't go up one, you know, going for one, two, three, four, five. That's when you're climbing, when you're doing something. That's Hanukkah. Beis Hillel says you can't bring a raya from Sukkot to Hanukkah because Sukkot is not the derech avodah. It's not a progression of how we do it. Sukkot is, Hashem wants to show us for 8 days a year what's going to be when we get there. I think that that's the mahalach. I have two more minutes, right? My Rebbe, Rebbe Gifter, would talk about this topic a lot. It was very important to him. He had Bachram in his yeshiva. He was talking when Rebbe Gifter had a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for 2 years. It was yeshiva's Tells, and it was in Tellstone. And the smud in the yeshiva was something that we're not accustomed to seeing. There were Bachram that would learn. They learned 60 minutes out of an hour. It was a group of Mitzuyanim. They learned, they fought, they chazed, they did everything. They were just like, they learned on a very high level. I mean, they were living on a very high level. And there were Bachram and Yeshiva that learned 18 hours a day. Bachram. They learned 18 hours a day. They ate and they davened. How many hours did they sleep? They couldn't have slept more than 3 or 4 hours. The stipler found out about it. The stipler, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, Rabbi Yankovisov Kanievsky, he found out about it. That they're bachram in the yeshiva, that they're learning 18 hours a day. And one time Rabbi Gifter, Zichron Livracha, was spending time in Bnei Brak with the stipler, Zichron Livracha. And the stipler said, I hear in your yeshiva that there's bachram to learn 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day. Tell them in my name that this is Bittul Torah. And they think they're going to vaksais Tamid HaChachamim, they're going to vaksais Amaratzim. Because the lack of sleep is going to prevent them from getting a, you know, I'm trying to touch up what he meant. He said they're going to be Amaratzim. They'll be Amaratzim. They'll get sick. They won't be able to focus. Won't be able to think. So Rabbi Gifter, when he came back from Bnei Brak to Yeshiva, he made an announcement that the stipend says we lose the Kain Shlofen. The Rabbi Rabbi Gifter said they didn't listen to him. They didn't listen. And he said, it wasn't Mazik then. He said, it wasn't Mazik then. They didn't listen. But he was telling us, you know, this is a story he told us quite often. He said, the Rambam says the person needs to get eight hours of sleep a day. And the stipler says that either a person can do that by getting 8 hours of sleep straight, or if he wants, he can break it up. He can get 7 hours at night and take an hour nap during the day. 7 plus 1 is 8. That's also acceptable. So it's a Rambam. It's a Rambam. And the Rambam is the Pesach Adorah. The Kash is, you have an Ashram Gedolim that they spent their whole life learning Rambams, and they didn't get 8 hours of sleep. The Vilna Gaon, what do you sleep, a half an hour a day, maybe? I don't even know if what do you do when you sleep?
I heard the stipler slept 8 hours every other day. I think it was the stipler.
That was a year.
What?
I don't know.
I'm going to slept in 4 increments of half hour each.
Whatever, he didn't sleep 8 hours a day.
I think this is how we tell people to get 8 hours.
Rav Scheinberg did not sleep 8 hours a day. Rav Scheinberg didn't go to sleep. Rav Blumenkranz, Zichron Livracha, didn't sleep 8 hours a day. He never slept in a bed. Never. He had a lazy boy, a recliner. That's where he slept. He didn't go to bed. What? No, because he was by the phone the whole time. And people called him they called him through the night from all different countries. Before Pesach? I mean, maybe he slept during the year. Before Pesach, he didn't sleep. So So what's the pshat? Does that mean that these are the Gedolei Olam, they ignore the words of the Rambam? Everything else the Rambam says, they work on every last drop of the kaya. And this one thing from the Rambam, they don't have to listen to him. They said, that's not the pshat. He says, that's right. He said, the Rambam is telling us a starting point. A human being, a physical body, needs 8 hours and cannot get less than that. And don't fool yourself. But Torah transforms a person. When you learn Torah, and you learn Torah like Mindaf v. Mindaf, you learn Torah like it matters. It's your beloved. It's your passion. It's like you can't be without it. And you use your body to do that, so then the body changes. It's a physical body, but it takes on spiritual properties. Rebbe said that the body needs physical nourishment. Sleep is nourishment. Food is nourishment. Sleep is nourishment. It's a physical nourishment. Get kaychus. Every morning you get up, you have new kaychus. You have kaychus for a certain amount of hours. We all know what that point is. At a certain point when as much as you push yourself, why is it you go to sleep? Why? Because the hours are used up. The car runs out of gas. It's just, you know, it's over. But if someone is Isaac and Tyra, he's Amul B'Tyra, so then the body changes. And it becomes a body that's a physical body with slightly properties of the spiritual. Slightly. And the spiritual properties allow the body to get unique from the Tyra. And this is the sort of Lenit Natera L'Eichle Amon. So it's getting unika from the sleep. It's also getting unika from the Torah. So it doesn't need 8 hours anymore. It needs 7 hours and 55 minutes. Weiter. And weiter. And weiter. This person is Eila from the number 1 to the number 8. We paskin like Miss Hill. So then the body changes and it gets nourishment, but it gets a mixture from the physical, the food, it gets from the sleep, and from the Torah. The Nashim Gedolim, the ones that respected the Ram, they respected the Ram, they started out getting the sleep they needed. And then they became like Malachi Asharis. He called Rav Shach Malach Hashem Tzvakos. Rav Shach was not a physical being. His Yanika was from the Torah. His Yanika wasn't from the food. His Yanika wasn't from the sleep, it was from the Torah. So then you need this, you still have a body. So you need this amount of sleep. I told you this before, that there was a Bachur in Yeshiva that he actually listened to me, and he was Matzliach. I said, he wanted to learn before davening, he wanted to learn, get up really early. I said, do it, but do it right. Every day set your alarm clock 1 minute earlier than the day before. After 7 days, you get up 7 minutes earlier. So he said, you want to learn before davening? Get up at 6:40. 20 minutes, you could probably do that. Go to sleep every night on a chavis at 11:30. Get up at 6:40. And then take your nap during the day. Be master of your time. Tomorrow, 6:39. The end of the week, 6:32. After 2 weeks, 6:25. After 3 weeks, 6:18. And after a few weeks, you know how, you know, and I said, as long as you're clear-headed during the day and you're stagging, so keep going until you can't do it anymore. I said, then stop. It was a very good advice. This guy is so huge now. He doesn't sleep very much. But he's awake. But he's awake. He's awake. I said, you don't have to listen to good advice. It has nothing to do with me. It's good advice. It's not my advice. It's from the Stipler. It's from a gifter. And it's more than advice. It was a tzivri from the Stipler. But, you know, this is a meridika way of doing things. 1 minute each day. Get a good amount of sleep. 1 minute. After a few months, you'll be there. You'll be there. You'll be learning and not sleeping a lot. You know, if that's what your goal is, you will be there. You know, and if you have to take a break because it's too much, then you take a break and start again. And if you don't get to this year, get to next year. But then you get there normal. 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 Is Madrega Acha Madrega. He says, the Maila Bakesha, we're reading Kala Kedusha Yimala Yena. Kedusha is beyond Ein magia amadrega hazay salyena mitchila. You cannot get the madrega of kedusha initially mitchila. These are the words of the Maral. There's a Kaddish group here. I have no doubt that hopefully we'll be with each other for as long as we can. But this is a group that would like to see Mitzvah Shem Yishad Avarichas Yom V'Shanim and see what becomes of us after 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years. It would be a nice thing to see. Rabbi Shem should give us the time to do it because it's a growing group and definitely a big schus to be a part of it.